Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you here this morning. First of all, a miracle happened during the week that you guys probably didn't even notice. God said, let there be all the lights on in the sanctuary. And, what I'm getting ready to tell you, I would like to tell you I'm joking, but it's actually the honest goodness truth. Four ordained ministers it took to change those light bulbs. And that's actually the truth. Isn't that true, Dusty and Rick? And that's factual. Yeah, that is the truth this time. It took four of us to do it, and no one got hurt, to my knowledge, so it's good. I do want to tell you real quick, I was daydreaming when Dusty was back there talking, so I don't know if he mentioned this. If you do have any of your canned goods, just put them by the back door, and so if you have them, if you left them in your vehicle this morning, and you brought them this morning for the Baptist Center, the food pantry there, go ahead and bring them in later and put them by the back door. I'm going to take them down there tomorrow, hopefully. So anyway, I just wanted to say that to you real quick. So other than that, let's pray, and then we're going to watch a video, and it's just kind of one of those things this morning where maybe it's what God's stirring on my heart for me. You might not be where I am right now this morning, and that's okay. I'm going to trust that God takes the scripture we look at, the video we watch, and the way we share during this time to speak to you, though, in whatever matter or fashion that He desires to speak to you. And I will give you a little hint. I'm going to, as I pray for us, the scripture's not up on the thing today. So you can be taking out the good old bound Bible or your electronic version, and we're going to be looking at the whole chapter of Matthew 14 today. So I'm going to pray for us. You can be looking that up. As soon as I'm done, John's going to hit the video, Dusty's going to hit the lights, and then we're going to come back and we're going to read the whole chapter together and discuss a few things this morning. So let's pray. Father, we bless you, we honor you, we glorify you this morning. Father, just saying that this morning, right here, right now, such a good thing. Father, I'm praying that we're able to do that when circumstances are so different than they are right now this morning, gathered here. Father, as things are astir in our own lives and in our world, God, I was just thinking about this yesterday. I serve a sovereign God, and you're sovereign over all of it. That does not change. And Lord, I pray today that would bring us peace and comfort. That fact alone, right there, would bring us peace and comfort. We serve a sovereign, all-powerful God. We bless you. We honor you today. In Jesus' name, amen. John.
Off the team, whatever. You know, just there's so much instability, so much that we don't understand, that we don't know. For me, growing up, it was, a lot of you guys know, my mom died giving birth to me. And my dad remarried, then my stepmom died in a car accident when I was 9. Then my dad got married again. Then my dad died of cancer when I was 12. And so I'm in junior high, my mom's dead, my stepmom's dead, my dad's dead. The only close relatives I had were my aunt and uncle, George and Sandra. And then when I was in high school, they got in a fight, and my uncle George shot and killed my aunt, and then stuck the gun to his own head, killed himself. So I'm 16 years old, and this is life to me, going, man, what's next? Everything seems to be falling apart, and we get a little worried. We get a little scared. And this is what Christians do. You know, they try to serve God, but then things get a little rocky, and things get a little unstable. And so we go, okay, that was nuts. I don't want to live like that. Let me hold on. And this is your routine. This is what so many people do. They go, you know what? I'm not going to try anything crazy. I'm just going to sit here, and I'm just going to hold on, and this is what you look like. You just go, this is what people do. You know what, I'm just going to have my nice little family. We're just going to, we're just going to keep to ourselves. We're going to live in a gated community. I'm going to homeschool my kids, make them wear helmets everywhere. I'm going to, I'm not going to let them outside because sun has bad rays. I'm going to, just on and on and on, and you just live your life in the safety of, I don't want to do anything crazy for God. I just want to, go to church on Sundays and maybe give like 2%, and maybe serve, help the nursery because I feel guilty. And then you do this your whole life, and then you go, your greatest prayer is like, God, you know what? I would love to die in my sleep and not even feel it and then just go up to heaven. And so you want to die like this. Just in your sleep, ooh, right in the middle of a dream, good dream, the dream you're going to heaven and you don't even feel it. And then suddenly you wake up, you stand before the judge and you go, Now, if could you imagine watching the Olympics, you know? And some girl does that, just gets up there, starts straddling the thing, and then steps off and goes, what is the judge supposed to do on the card? You see, and to me, I go, man, that's the routine that so many Christians are headed for. That's the routine, the boring, I do nothing crazy because I don't want to fall. That's the routine that they're going to live, and then one day it's going to be a shock because they're going to step off that balance beam and realize they're standing before the judge. They're standing before the judge, and you think he's going to look at that routine and go, wow, well done. Well done. You lived the safest life possible. You didn't slip. You didn't fall. See, that's not the life that God's called us to. That's where the majority will head. But I don't want to go where the majority goes.
You got Matthew 14? Most of you probably know that's Francis Chan. He's a pastor out west. Sometimes I stand up here and I think, my mother is critiquing how I'm dressed this morning. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but you could see Francis' boxer shorts when he was on the balance beam. And I'm thinking, man, when he sees himself. But you know something? I don't think Francis Chan's too worried about it. Because that's the way he dresses every Sunday. Okay? So who wants to launch us off? Somebody start to read. You don't have to read the whole thing. Just begin. Chapter 14, Matthew. I don't care what version you have as long as I can understand it in English. Okay? So somebody begin to read. Chapter 14 of Matthew. You keep your Bibles open there because it's not going to be up on Scripture. What I want to focus on this morning is Peter. The reason why I had us read the whole chapter, as most of you know, just as well as I do, the story of Peter. A man who did great things for the kingdom of God, but basically while he walked with Jesus on this earth, he messed it up early and often. He saw miraculous things. He saw horrific things, saw good things, but he still struggled to get it right. And one of the things I want to tie into you about that video is, as you heard Francis Chan talk about a very rough upbringing, basically lost everybody close to him. And yet God has used him in miraculous and powerful ways. He's the guy who wrote, he's the author of Crazy Love, a very popular book that some of you read and others have probably heard about it. But what I want to tie into us this morning, as John go ahead and throw up our first two questions, is this. We see Peter. He had witnessed the miracles. He had witnessed the fact that John the Baptist had made the ultimate sacrifice. And after this story, things continue on that you know about. Peter saw Jesus do even more miracles. But I want us to see something this morning. That safe and secure, or our own security, doesn't always mean staying in one place, taking it easy security. That security means doing whatever God's telling us to do. That's what safe and secure is about, I believe. So our first two questions I want you to think about and want us to share about is, what happens if Peter stays in the boat and doesn't come to Jesus? And what happens if we say no to God when He asks something of us? I want you to think about those two questions as you get ready to answer. Because in your life and in my life, I think often Jesus is saying, let's get busy. There's work to do. But also, let's get busy. There's rest to take. Not risk, rest to take. I believe also He says there are risks to take. Because I don't know about you, but often when I read about somebody that has said, you know, I'm going to forsake home and family and go all the way across the world. My first thought is, are they crazy? But then I think, wait a second. I'm seeing this much of the story. So I'd ask you, what happens if Peter stays in the boat and he doesn't get out and walk on the water? And what happens if God's speaking to us, and we basically do this? I ain't got time, God. I ain't got time. Or More common, something I say, maybe you don't say it, but you probably do in some form, is God, do you know what's going on in my life right now? How do I have time for that? What do you think? When Peter looked out, waves were crashing. Things probably weren't looking all that great. I wonder where Jesus was standing. Was the water completely calm? I don't know that. Point being is if we have the Holy Spirit, the calmness is available 7/24. You think about how much more clearly you think and pray and listen to other people and God when you're at peace and when you're calm compared to when you're anxious. Even if the world isn't crashing, but your perception is the world's crashing. You know, trying to make a decision when you're rowing for your life is different than when you see there's no storm and you can think about it. What else? Terry? Mm-hmm. The disciples sitting on the boat going like this, I wonder how deep it is out there. Does he know how deep it is? Didn't he remember when we threw the nets in, how deep those suckers went? Yeah. Point being is, back to your all talking about the disciples in the boat besides Peter, is isn't it amazing how sometimes that we are ready to go forward and we have to be careful of who we have surrounded ourselves with. Are they helping us hear God? So more on those two before we move on. I want to point out something to you. One reason why I had you read chapter 14 wasn't just for Peter or us, but it starts out with John the Baptist. We know his story, and it tells us how he was beheaded and why, okay? But how his disciples came and took the body, but how Peter would have known about the testimony of faithfulness of John the Baptist. Then it moves to Jesus simply feeding the multitude. Then it moves to Jesus being Lord over nature. And then the end of the story shows Jesus' sovereignty through God the Father of being able to heal and do miraculous things to individuals. So in that one chapter you just read, it showed God's sovereignty over everything. Nothing was outside His control. Individuals, the creation that He had made, the way someone died. John the Baptist didn't die because Herod chose for him to die. John the Baptist died in that way because God allowed him to do that. And I believe, if nothing else, we can receive encouragement. I think John the Baptist was as at peace about dying as any man or woman that ever walked the face of the earth. He was content. After all, you don't go your whole life taking no showers and eating honey and locusts without being some sort of contentment. Okay? John, go ahead and put the next two up. And you guys can go back, you know the routine. You can go back to anything, but I just want to put these up. God was using the before and after events in Peter's life, but often I don't think he recognized it. Why don't you think he saw God working all around him? And then God uses those same things in our lives. Why do we struggle with recognizing God in the events in our lives and how He's using them? And I'm not just talking about any one particular event. Okay? It could be the good news and the bad news, and it could be the mundane of life. Going to work, getting up, eating. Because again, in the story, they ate together. They rowed the boat together. They saw the miraculous happen in people's lives. That was kind of the way they lived their life with Jesus. So, what do you think? You said that, Don, and I was thinking about when you start talking for us is, Dusty, did Daniel start calling you in October? He started calling me in October about getting the animals for the nativity. Okay. And after about three or four times, I could tell he was getting irritated, at least with me. Because the last time he said, well, you better call those people because we need those animals. Now, obviously, right? I mean, that's stating very obvious. Point being is back to what both of you all are kind of saying. I'm thinking about how Daniel is adamant. You can't do something without what you say is important to part of the thing. You can't have a nativity, Daniel, without live animals. Okay? And I think sometimes in God's way, He is shouting at us. You better call and get those animals. Because I love you, Dane. Back to what you're saying, Don. Dane, I don't really have to have you, But I love you so much, I want you to enjoy what I'm doing. Enjoy what I am doing. Enjoy what I'm doing. Think about something. All of you probably have had this happen. You probably have called somebody that was you were thinking about, and they've used the words like, I'm so glad you called. How did you know? Or some positive reinforcement that you did the right thing, right? I guarantee almost everybody in this room has had that happen, okay? But how about the next time you have that same feeling? Do you pick up the phone immediately, or do you go through that same, point being is the before and after events. Sometimes we're just slow learners. Slow learners. I think both and. Yeah. Years ago, probably only myself and Jay and Julian, Dusty, we heard Reinhard Bonnke, he's an evangelist, he's a German evangelist. Were you there over at Mustard Seed, Dusty, when Jay and Julian were the only ones? You guys were there, you just don't remember. And he's an evangelist from Germany. The answer to David's question is, as Jay was daydreaming, he was thinking about buying me lunch and couldn't concentrate. And he was telling us the story, David, is this. God had asked him to go to Africa, and basically sort of like be a Billy Graham, but in Africa, very specifically, to Africa. And he said, I was so excited. He said, look what God called me to do. And God said, hey, big boy, you're my third choice. The first two said no. But I do, I believe, I think both and. You know, and I do believe that we see God's love, using your example of Jonah, to the Ninevites as well as Jonah, how much he loved all that. But I don't know if Jonah ever got it. as far as we know, he was still kind of hard-headed at the end. But I think, in my opinion, it's both and. In Francis Chan's visual example, he's holding on to that balance beam very, very tightly. He is holding on to it very tightly, okay? And I believe often, I won't throw you all under the bus, Dane, holding on to his balance beam very tightly says, man, God's really taking care of me. Point being is I'm really the one doing all the work, and God's saying, get up on the thing, and I'll show you what I can do. And I think that's very, very important, because the clock that it's ticking, you and I don't know when it's going to strike the midnight hour. But I know through God's word that he's coming back. I don't want to look busy. I want to be faithful with my busyness. Because, there's too often that there's a difference between being busy and being fruitful. I don't want to be busy. I want to be fruitful. And I think you do too. I really believe that. We know each other too well. I think you desire to be fruitful. I think it's just accepting what God's challenging in our lives at this moment, right now, where we are. John, go ahead and throw the last one up. How do you know when God is telling you to stay in the boat for security, or getting out of the boat is the security? What I mean by that is this. I don't think all of us in this room are supposed to run around to the other side of the world. I don't think all of us are supposed to go downtown Savannah and minister to whatever group of you want. But you have to decide and discern what God is asking you to do in everything that he's up to in the world. So you and I have a responsibility to discern what God's telling you to do. It might be to be here on Thursday from 11 to 1, right here, face down, while somebody else is, and you can pick wherever you want, at that other place. Or it might be God is asking you to fast. But you have to figure out, is God saying, oh, right now I need you in the boat? Because somebody has to do the rowing and somebody has to do the walking. So I ask you to think about that. Let's hear some things. How do you know? How do you discern when God is telling you to stay in the boat for security, or getting out of the boat is security? Meaning, you're going to be at so much peace even though the storms are crashing. Waves are over everywhere. How do you know? I think that if the disciples had said to Peter, Peter, get out of the boat and show us you can walk on the water, I don't think Peter would have got out. I think it was because of the voice that he heard. They said, wait a second. I've trusted him this far. I need to keep on trusting him. And by the way, that's a good point for all of us. I say we trust him. We don't get to choose to say, I trust you with part of it. It's either all or nothing. You know, you say that, I'll give you an example of something that I've thought about a million times. Literally, probably. Some of you don't know this, but back at summer camp, I ruptured my Achilles tendon playing basketball. Okay, not for one moment did I ever say I wasn't supposed to be doing that. Because I was at summer camp, playing with people I love playing with. I was losing at the time. I still haven't forgot about that. I remind Luke and Josh all the time, we're going to finish that game eventually. But here's the flip side. I've asked myself this question, and it goes exactly what I'm trying to tell all of us today is this. What if I had just been out on a run one morning and this had happened? I know me, the first thing I would have said to myself was, did God tell me not to go out this morning and this happened? See, it's that important to be able to recognize the voice of God. Because I've never doubted for a moment that I wasn't supposed to be at summer camp doing what I was supposed to be doing. Never. But if it had happened under different circumstances, I would have said, I wonder that day. And the reason why I tell you that is this, or one of the reasons why maybe I say this to you is this. There's going to be a lot of things that happen in our lives that we just don't understand how it fits in the big picture. And we have to really, really, I believe, how to have a powerful faith that says, I can be at peace not knowing everything. And you know what I'm saying? That hanging on to that balance beam for dear life is not living, I believe, as a follower of Christ. But I believe God in His sovereign love says, sit down on it. Take a rest. It's okay. I rest it too. So I think part of the answer to that last question is this. Intimacy with the Father makes everything different. Everything different. And I want you to know, I got you done. Then the next 5 to 6 weeks, when time goes by like that, and we're sitting here in January, okay, because it will go by like that, and you know as well as I do. If you missed the intimacy with the Father, then what good was the whole time? It was just counting time. Most of you couldn't see it, but when he said, I've never heard God's audible voice, he looked at Debbie. I don't know what that was about. Let's pray. You know, Father, I thank you so much that we're the most important people in your life. And Lord, I confess for me at times, you're not the most important thing in my life. But God, I want that. And I pray that for us. Lord, I do believe that changes cities. I believe that changes families. It changes circumstances. At least it changes the people in them, hearts, to praise you and honor you and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.